Hey, welcome everyone. I'm just psyched. I had no idea I was really doing something like a keynote talk. I'm Philippe Ombredin. I'd like to talk about clarity in licensing and metadata for Nix packages and why it's a problem. I maintain a bunch of tools. Some of you may know about them in the space, something called Scancode. I dabbled also a bit in standards, like something called package URL, which is used to identify packages in SBOMs. And standards, we need more of them. I'm a co-founder of SPDX, and I'm also a core contributor to CycloneDX. So I'll try to avoid making the dev room too late by starting late, so we'll try to finish early. The problem is that Nix package metadata, in particular licenses, is a bit of a mess. And it's not your fault, it's not our fault entirely, a bit, but it's also because it's hard, because upstream is also sometimes pretty brain damaged. If you look at, say, something like, look at this license, this page, which, if you squint, it says MIT, but it says, permission is not granted. Right. There's some junk in it, but I have a whole collection of these, I call these FUBAR licenses. And it's just a small slice of this. It's easy for us to be fooled by that. Because it says MIT, and in some cases even GitHub says MIT, and it looks legit. So that's the problem. So it's not entirely our fault. It's a problem of the tools. It's a problem of upstream also, which is sometimes pretty brain damaged. In the end, it's useful. Each time you have a license issue, you're putting a bit of a friction in using packages. And licenses are somewhat important. Open source exists because of packages being under an open source license, right? You remove the open source license, there's no open source anymore. So it's also useful for some things like emerging regulations like CRA. And really, any kind of responsible reuse, whether it's in a corporate, in an organization, an open source project, you want to know about the license. So what can we do? Basically, fix the problem. So we've started a small project called Nix Clarity, which is supported by a program funded by the European Union called Fediversity. And the goal is to help fix the mess. Hopefully also help upstream, because the great thing about Nix is that a lot of the code is pristine upstream. And ideally, we don't want to fix it for Nix. We want to fix it for everyone. So in 1,000 years from now, open source license clarity will no longer be a problem. So the plan is, if we can use package URL to help standardize the case where we have vendor code, which may not have been externalized, copy-paste, automate the detection with open source tools, eventually deploy at or for Nix. That's not up to me to decide. But ideally, I'd like whenever you publish a package on Nix packages, then you get feedback. If the foundational community wants to block on funky, weird, missing license, proprietary license, more power to you as a group. That's not for me to decide. So, quick word about Perls. Have any of you heard about package URLs? Good. So I need to talk a bit about it. It's a small, stupid standard to identify a package in an SBOM or elsewhere. It's useful, and you need to know about it because it's been merged into the CVE schema for vulnerabilities in late October. Eventually, you can go from a scan of a code base to a straight lookup in the vulnerability database without much friction. So that's really useful for that. Somebody has to tell me if I'm going late because I can go on that for hours. It's been recently, on the 6th of December, standardized as an ECMA standard. It's only on its way to be an ISO standard, which is really interesting for a small string like that. But You know, it's important for companies to have also these standards to ensure these are not moving and usable. We are working, by the way, on specifically supporting package URL for Nix packages, which has specific challenges because Nix and because we have derivations and a lot of hashes to deal with. It's used a bit everywhere. Most, if not all, the tools that scan for origin, license, and vulnerabilities do use package URL. So the standardization came basically after adoption. Vulnerability database, CVEs using that, GitHub, GitLab, all these companies, most open source foundations. So it's hopefully useful. It's not perfect. I like to say it's less bad than other approaches that have existed before. So it's just a small step forward. So now what are we going to do for Nix? Identify vendored copied code is one thing. Second, we want to create and validate all the licenses. You may not know how Nix licenses are actually tracked in Nix itself, something, if you search like that, I had a page open with that. It's at the top. You have a big Nix file that lists each and every possible license that could be used in the package. It doesn't scale because you can have something like the Linux kernel, which may not be strictly available as a common Nix package, but you may have a package that has a combination of license exceptions, these kind of things. In the current mode, you would have to expand this file forever to list all the possible combinations. So that's one problem. So we want to validate all the licenses, but there's probably going to be work to do specifically to support license expressions in the Nix language. And I don't know how to do that. I need to write how to write Python. I can be dangerous in C and a bit of C++. I don't know Nix. It's too. We're going to need help to do something there. The problem also at scale is it's very large. We're talking about tens and tens of terabytes of code. We want to clarify the license, so using scan code and match code to do two things. Scan code detects licenses. It's basically a stupid dump diff between many license text and license mentions and the code, except it's not so stupid when you need to do that billions and billions of times, so there's a few tricks to make it fast. When it always we find new licenses, especially with AI, there's a lot of very bad innovation going on. Everybody wants to create new licenses, which are almost open source, but not exactly. You've seen the case you just had, not. Every week we find new license, typically from AI-related projects, which are really problematic. So being able to detect the license, one thing. The other thing is being able to detect vendored copied code. That's where match code comes in. It's basically a database of hashes. Again, very simple, in essence. Can be a bit tricky if you're trying to find efficiently matches to code that was copied and has been modified. There's a few tricks for that also. And the problem here, we're talking about generative AI. I have a tool, and I can prove that unscientifically, about 20% of the time, when you can easily prompt LLMs to actually spit verbatim copy of the source code that was used to train them. So, AI company use collectively our source code to train their model. This is eventually an index that can spit and memorize everything. Whenever you have that, it's great copyright infringement machine. It's fast, and of course there's no attribution, no notice that comes with it. We're gonna have a lot of bugs to fix. Again, Nix is big, Nix packages is big. we have some, not secrets, it's open source, but some machine learning tools to spot incorrect license detection, so to fix the fix, help fix the bugs. And we're gonna need also a way to avoid being a drain on package maintainers at Nix and eventually upstream. I don't know any solution that do to it one at a time with humans in the loop. I hate bots, it's not the way. Which means we cannot do the fix of problems upstream without involving massively the community. So we talked about the license expression for Nix. Right now the solution of license.nix cannot scale. If you really want to have accurate license at the scale of the current Nix package table, it's going to have to be 100 times bigger, which is going to be a challenge even for pull request merging and these kind of things. It's SPDX, not SPX, sorry. We need a way to manage and deal with SPDX expressions, which are combinations, where you just keep the individual licenses and you can say, oh, this is GPL and BSD, as opposed to say, here's the BSD, is the GPL. Today, the approach in Nix is to store GPL, BSD, GPL and BSD, GPL or BSD, GPL and MIT, and all this combination. Again, cannot scale. I have Python code for that. We need help to bring that to fruition to Nix. We need also to find a way when you have package copied into packages to make sure we are correct origins. It's going a bit beyond license if, like you have, say, in a Rust crate, a van.copy of OpenSSL, and you only know about the top-level Rust package, and you forgot that you have a vulnerable copy of OpenSSL, that's a problem. This may go undetected when you actually build Nix packages, because you may not devendor systematically the OpenSSL copy. The OpenSSL copy may have been patched for what you know, and that's a problem. So it's really interesting and important, not only for license, but also for security. Eventually, it's also an issue for upstream, right? We want to do that on a slice as big as possible of the Nix packages, and rinse and repeat. And again, the goal is not for us to own that, but to empower the package maintainers to have this information and empower the Nix community and the Nix OS Foundation to own this stuff if possible. And in the end, we use that for other ecosystems. We have a running project with a star in the space who is the maintainer of Log4j. You cannot make a presentation on security issues in open source without talking about Log4j and Log4shell. And what we're doing is working together to fix the problem at Maven to find hidden copies of Log4j. Doing something on Rust also. Debian is in need of love and suffers a lot of these licensing issues. When a package is uploaded in they lose track, and the metadata usually drift. So if we can do good for Nix, for Debian, that would be awesome. That's it. We're, as I said, public benefit non-profit foundation based in Brussels, recently formed. We've been blessed to receive support from the German government, large US corporations, and a lot from the European Union through the NGI program, in particular with Nelnet. We live and survive as a charity, and I just want to say that we're trying to help. So if you have questions, that's pretty much it. Any question? Yes, go ahead.
How do you handle, obviously, the work licenses?
Hold on.
So the question is, how do you handle the less common licenses?
Malformed ones. So like, what does that say MIT? But then someone just puts not.
So the detection in scan code, as I said, is stupid. You take all the variations, known variations of MIT, which are bona fide MIT, the original correct license text, that's agreed upon because there's no real original version for MIT, and all the known bad variations, and you're trying to match that exactly using a diff. When I say using a diff, eventually we use a modified version of diff which works on big vectors, but doesn't matter. If there's a variations like one word difference, you will say there's not an exact match. As a matter of fact, we also index these weird FUBAR licenses, so we detect them immediately as proprietary licenses. But it's really a string matching at the world level. And the goal is to have as big a database of example of licenses, about at the moment about 40,000. And the more we have of these examples of bad and good licenses, the faster we are detecting, because we build automatons and we use an algorithm for search called AUKARA-seq, which is used typically for detecting viruses. And it enables to do a very efficient, fast, exact detection, exact being the exact sequence of words, ignoring formatting and all that kind of stuff. So it's really string matching on a large scale. The one thing to understand is that, say, building an index like Google queries, ignoring the new AI mode, was limited to 32 words in a query. Index is petabytes. In our case, a code base, a large code base, could be a couple of gigabytes. But the code base is the query. The index is 10, 20, 30 megabytes big, but the code base is the query. So it's interesting and less common problems. How do you deal with gigabyte-sized queries on a small index?
I'm going to see. Hopefully people can hear me with this microphone. I apologize.
No, that's okay. That was a sign to tell me it's over.
Philippe, thank you very much. We can take one more question. I apologize for not introducing you ahead of the talk. We're still figuring out the microphone situation a bit. So we're going to see if passing you the mic and asking questions that way will work so the speakers don't have to repeat the questions. Are there any further questions? Please raise your hand if you have a question. Somebody can think of a question, right? Can be something.
Okay, so go ahead. No, I didn't hear the question, sorry.
Sorry, I didn't know there was a microphone coming. Can you hear me? Is it working?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll shout, it's okay. I was wondering, so is there one specific place for working on this project? Because there's a lot of links on the board.
Yes, that's a good point. So there's one specific place, which is a board of issues we track on our Abort Code organization. I'll make sure I'll put the link on the FOSDEM talk page.
Okay.
And thank you for that.
Thank you.
Forgot about it.
All right. Thank you very much to the speaker again. This was
thank you.